Blog Talk Radio.
Hi everybody, it's Mark Jones here again with the Ice Cream for the Soul Blog Talk Radio show, and I'm going to try and start getting into my rhythm with these with my conversations. It's been quite an hectic summer, and I've had a couple of conversations. I spoke with Dickin a couple of weeks ago, and I spoke with Muji a few weeks ago, but I've been kind of out of my usual flow, so I'm looking forward, now the summer's over, I'm looking forward to getting back into my flow of chatting more often with people. And I'm very pleased to be chatting today with Jacqueline Hollows. And I don't know Jacqueline Hollows very well. I'm looking forward to finding out more about her as we I always say dive into the conversation. I've got like these little catchphrases I keep noticing. And Jacqueline's name is somebody I've heard quite a lot by my partner Sheila and by my friend Sue Pankovic, and she's also going to be part of the Viva event here in Spain, so I thought it was about time I bloody spoke to her. So, well, without further ado, I'll bring Jacqueline on. How are you doing, Jacqueline?
Hi Mark, how are you doing?
Thanks for giving me your time and helping me get back into my flow.
I'm very delighted.
So if anything goes wrong, I'll blame you for not helping my flow.
That's fair enough.
Okay. So, well, we actually, because I knew so little about Jacqueline, I just started to ask her about her journey, how she's got to this point in her life and why I've ended up asking to speak to her. And as she began to speak, I thought, it'd be better just to do this on the air. So, do you mind... Well, we didn't speak too long because I interrupted you quite quickly. So, like many people who listen to these conversations, they've got an understanding and an interest in the three principles of psychology, which I'm sure we'll be talking about. So, would you mind just giving us your little story? People always find those interesting, Jacqueline. And once again, welcome and thank you for giving me your time.
Thank you. Yeah, so what I was saying is that my background is completely different from what I'm doing now, which I'll come on to, but I was in IT and the business world for a long time, so all my education and experience and everything was in that field, and I had a few personal things happening in my life, and I started to get interested in various coaching techniques and psychology. So I did NLP and EFT and all sorts of things, Reiki and crystal therapy and so on. And I was searching, I guess, and I fell across Michael Neal's Supercoach Academy and took the leap and went along and did that program in 2011. And at the time, Michael was just switching over to the inside out nature of understanding. So he had this very eclectic academy where he invited lots of coaches from around the world. And as it happened, he had Georgia Linda Pranksky for the second weekend of our academy.
Okay.
And I think we got interrupted at the point where I was saying that that was my introduction to the principles, and I actually hated it. So I feel really embarrassed about now, but it's quite a
cute. I don't think I've ever spoken to anybody who said that.
A few really?
People, they're uncomfortable with it and not too sure about it, but never hated it. So, I mean.
Oh, I really hated it. It's seriously. Okay. I was jet lagged, and we went to see George and Linda the night before the start of the weekend in a church hall or something. And these two very chilled out people sat at the front, you know, sort of going, oh yeah, this is my impersonation anyway, oh yeah, it's just your thinking and your state of mind. And I looked at all these people in the room all blissed out thinking there is something wrong here, so I don't want anything to do with this.
I did have to say to you before before we started recording, did you think it was a cult? And there was that.
I did.
And you actually did think that, yeah?
I did. I actually did. I seriously really thought, it's a cult. These people have been brainwashed. Oh, my gosh. You know, what have I got myself into?
Right.
And subsequently, and now I understand, of course, I went into the weekend with a very, very low state of mind.
Mm.
And I had a horrible weekend. And it was such a juxtaposition to the first weekend, which had been amazing and enlightening,
right.
and super, super, super cool. And it was so strange. And every time I wanted to ask a question, I got really nervous and anxious, and it was horrible. So I had a terrible time. A couple of months later, on that academy, we had like master classes. So the practitioners, I mean, anybody, you know, like Nancy Klein and some and Paul McKenna and some amazing people would do a master class on air. And the students would join in. And we had a master class with George Pransky.
Right, the cult leader, as you see.
The cult leader, yeah, yeah. And I thought, well, I'll jump on, you know, and if it's too much, I can always get off the line. Anyway, turned out that it was me and one other person actually joined in this call. For some bizarre reason, the other students didn't turn up.
Right.
So there was me and one other student.
Wow.
The facilitator and George. So there's four people on the call. So straight away I thought, oh no, I can't get out of it now because I feel nice. So it was, I just thought, oh no. Anyway, this other lady who happens to be a really close friend of mine, Mary Beth, she was waxing lyrical, and I can't remember who the facilitator was. It might have been Elise Coit. But she was waxing lyrical all about Sid Banks and the three principles, and they were going on, and they were all three of them having this amazing conversation, and I was sitting there thinking, oh no, how long will it take, you know, come on, etc. And of course, eventually George says, so Jacqueline, we haven't heard much from you, you know, how are you getting on? And I thought, I'm just going to tell him. And I said, to be honest with you, George, I don't really like it. And he laughed too.
I'm sorry, Jacqueline, if you can hear me, I've lost.
Terrible weekend. I'm really sorry. You know, it's polite.
Okay, I just lost you. Let's just turn the cameras off because sometimes that helps. Sorry, because I am. Yep. I didn't do it. Okay.
Is that better?
Yeah, you froze completely then, just at the point where you said George started laughing as well.
If you
could just backtrack to there, it wasn't too long ago. I don't think.
No. So he said he started laughing and he said, "Tell me more, then. What, you know, tell me about that." And I said, "Well, I don't really like it. I don't like the three principles, and that weekend, you know, I'm really sorry, but I didn't enjoy it at all. I was just so, you know, anxious, and it was horrible." I said, I don't mean to insult you, because I didn't want to be rude. And he was just chuckling away. And I said, "And Sid Banks, well, you know, you can keep him." I said, "He just makes me go to sleep, to be honest. So there's no point in that." And again, he was just chuckling away. And he said, "Oh, that's brilliant. That's brilliant. That's fascinating." And I was thinking, what's wrong with him? Like, I've just dissed his whole psychology, and he's just laughing. And he said, "Oh, that's great. Thanks for sharing that. That's really cool." anyway, I don't really remember what else was said, but I got curious.
Right.
And I thought,
I'm just curious why you got curious, because he was just totally unfazed by your.
Yeah, I just
didn't
thought.
Take it personally and all
exactly.
That.
He didn't take it personally. He didn't try to defend it. He didn't try to convince me.
Right.
He was just totally enthralled with my experience and, you know, wanted to know more about it. And I was really curious as to why he would react in that way. And that was enough to make me think, I'll give it another go. Maybe, maybe I've missed something here.
Right.
And so I started to read the books and listen. I couldn't listen to, I have to, you know, I'm embarrassed to say, I couldn't listen to Sid for a very long time.
That's sacrilege, Jacqueline.
I know, it's terrible. And I even Sid's books, I got nothing from them for a very long time. So I'm a very slow learner. but also, I mentioned this, actually, I was on a panel last night with Michael Neal, and I mentioned it to them, that I didn't think that I ever got an insight. I definitely am not one of those people that suddenly had an epiphany.
Yeah.
And I certainly didn't think I had any insight. But I noticed that my life started to be easier.
Mm.
And that I started to not be so stressed, not be so reactive. And I was going through a very, very difficult time. Financially and everything. I basically lost everything.
Right.
And yet I rode that storm with real ease and a lack of worry and almost now that I see what it was like a trust that it was all going to be okay. Mm. And but I didn't really know why. I just knew that it seemed a bit easier. So of course, as these things started to happen, I started to get more and more curious and go, well, is it related to that?
Yeah, because you wasn't sure at first. You were just wondering if it was, it was learning or just coincidence. Yeah,
exactly. And I happened to meet someone that I really got on with well at the I went to the Innate Health Conference the following year, 2012, and I thought, and I met someone there that I liked and seemed to be very down to earth and not cultish in any way.
Right.
I started working with him and just exploring it a little bit and sort of I trusted him. So I thought, well, he's not going to, you know, he's a businessman. He's not going to lead me astray.
Yeah.
But again, even then, it took me a really long time. And I think I'd like to sort of just touch on the turning point, which was my thoughts were when I finished Supercoach that I was going to be this executive coach, working with people to, you know, create their big dreams and sort of typical coach type, you know, thoughts really about what I was going to do and how I was going to do it and build the vision and everything else. But nothing seemed very in flow, as you might say. It was all a bit uphill struggle. And I noticed that I liked it, but I didn't love it. But I didn't know what else to do. I really didn't know what else to do. Like, I just thought, what am I going to do then? I didn't want to go back to IT. I knew that.
Right.
But I didn't know what to do or anything, and I wasn't really looking for what to do either. I just sort of thought, well, it'll sort of work out, I think.
Right.
And then left field, I just happened to meet, when I was business networking, I met a guy who had been 25 years in heroin and crack cocaine addiction.
Right.
In and out of prison. I think he served up to 9 years in prison.
Right.
Prolific offender, we would call him. He calls himself, or at the time, a self-confessed scumbag. And when I met him, he'd been 3 years clean and sober. So that is 3 years where he hadn't taken any mind-altering drugs, including alcohol. And he'd set up a social enterprise, a filmmaking company, helping other people who are offenders and people in recovery from addictions to make film. And he was at college, and he was just totally inspirational. We just fell in love. You know, we bounced off each other. He was a totally inspiring person. And I just wanted to help him. And we became very, very friendly. And I still actually volunteer on his board of directors. And through him, then I got to meet all these other amazing people who had some sort of addictions and who had been struggling and suffering. And I didn't realise at the time, but I was having conversations with them about the inside-out nature of life.
So these people weren't familiar with this. You were the...
No, that's the right. No, that
talk to them about it. Right,
okay. They're all fresh meat.
Right, okay. I ready for the slaughter.
They were. But I didn't even know I was doing it. It was just because I had nothing on it. I had no skin in the game.
Yeah.
I was just enjoying myself, having conversations with them. Meanwhile, trying to make a business out here, you know, but having these amazing conversations with these amazing people and loving it.
Right.
And noticing that they loved it. They were responding. They understood it. They were coming back with really simple. They actually helped me, you know, understand the principles more, because we never talked about the principles. We just talked about how life works.
Yeah.
And I got really interested in the whole field of addiction, because the model at the time was very much based on the disease model.
Yeah.
And on and the people I happened to meet were the 12-step people, so Alcoholics Anonymous and Narcotics Anonymous. So there was this understanding of it being a disease and something that they would never recover from.
Yeah.
Something that they would always be in recovery. And I hadn't done any research at the time, but I just thought that can't be right. I don't believe it.
Yeah.
That can't be right.
Yeah.
And I got really, really interested. And so I started doing a lot of research and reading government papers and reading everything I could get my hands on, just for no other reason than that I just knew it was wrong. I just didn't feel right to me. And I also saw through their eyes the stigma that exists, but also the self-created stigma that exists. And again, that totally intrigued me as to, this can't be the only way.
Yeah.
So that just went along. Meanwhile, my inspiration had decided to do a degree, and he needed a support worker. And I had no work, so I ended up being his support worker at university.
Right.
And this is a guy, I have to just sing his praises a little. This is a guy with no education, no formal education. As I said before, you know, been in and out of prison, all of those things. He's now got a first class honours degree in BA Media and Communication. That's what people can do.
Lovely. Yeah.
Amazing. And so I carried on working with him, and then I had this idea that I just wanted to work with people in recovery. I didn't know how that would work out. And
you'd just been thrown into it in many ways.
Yeah.
And you knew you had to make it happen.
I knew, exactly.
Yeah.
And September is recovery month, international recovery month, in fact. So that means that lots of people celebrate recovery and try to show other people that people with addictions can and do recover, and that they will lead fulfilling lives, and so on and so forth. So we have lots of events, there's conferences, there's a big walk. It's very cool, actually. We just stayed overnight in Durham Cathedral to raise awareness about homelessness. So it's a really celebratory, enjoyable time, and it's meant to try and raise awareness, reduce stigma, and help the suffering addict to see that there's a way forward, you know, and that they can get help and so on. Is this all okay?
This is lovely. I'm loving. I think it's really great when people get a flavour of where you've come from and what you're doing and what you've been up to. And I'm just thinking of I've spoken to people before on here who've been addicts themselves, and some of them have turned into some of my really good friends, you know. They're trying to drag me out of my little addictions.
Leave me and my addictions alone.
carry on, Jacqueline. Yeah.
It's a good point, actually, because I think that's just a human thing to have compulsive thinking and sometimes to get carried away by it. It's just a human thing. It's like not special to one person. It's like we've all got it. But anyway, so it was Recovery Month 2013, and I did some volunteering, went to the local park interviewing people and so on. And I walked for my filmmaking guy, Jason, and I walked into the park and I was just absolutely filled with love. And it just stopped me in my tracks. I was just so overwhelmed with love and compassion and a desire to work with those people. I just looked at them and I just knew that I wanted to work with them no matter what. Mm. And up until then, you know, I'd been thinking, well, I don't know how I'd make money out of that. And at that point, I just thought, I don't care. This is what I've got to do. I don't know. I don't know what this means. I don't know how. I don't know any of those things, but it doesn't matter because this is what I've got to do. I just want to be with these people. And I met a guy there who runs a recovery community in Coventry. We got chatting about the inside out nature of life. He loved it. He's incredibly intelligent and well versed, and he said, you need to come and talk to our group, so I did that, and then he started sending me referrals. So it was all pro bono, you know, for about 12 months. Then I did all of this work for nothing, just because I knew I wanted to do it and I wanted to just experience it. So I worked part-time and I did that when I could.
Okay.
And I loved it. And the more I did it, the more I loved it. And what was really interesting is the first client he sent me came and sat in my office. And I never asked him about his story. Right. I never asked him about, he happened to be alcohol dependent the whole of his life. And he was 5 years sober. I never asked him about any of that. We just had a conversation about how life works. And at the end, I noticed that that's what I'd done. And I thought, oh, that's the three principles. Right. And then not once I'd done that, I couldn't do anything else. It didn't make any sense to do any of the other coaching techniques that I knew.
Right.
And so even with, because I still work with professional clients, as well, a handful, you know, just a few, and even with my professional clients, I could no longer do the techniques that I'd been using with them for the last 2 years, because it just didn't make sense anymore. So that was my turnaround, really, which was pretty amazing. And then from there, it's just gone just into stratospheric places.
Well, I know Sheila said you're very busy so these days. So it sounds like you were always busy, but I'm just curious, are you actually managing to earn a crust or two now?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, good. Can you lend me a few quid then?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, sorry, go on.
Once I made a decision that I was going to, as I called it, focus on the business in August of last year, and I was very fortunate. I had I'm a project manager by trade, and I had a project that paid my bills.
Right.
So I was able to work on the business, if you like, for 4 days a week. And I thought, you know what? I love doing this. And I love the people, and I still don't know where it's going to go, but I am going to put everything I've got into doing this and see what happens.
Right.
And I planned to do that for 3 months. That stretched out to 6 because the project was delayed, and therefore I was still employed. So that was great. And I did everything that I put all my energy and focus into this, and just did what seemed right next, just followed those steps. And then I was very fortunate. I worked for 6 months on a business case for a prison in the UK, and won a 12-month contract with them to deliver free principles workshops to the inmates and also to the support staff. And that's what I'm currently doing. So I'm now building a team that comes in with me to do that. And at the same time, I never look for clients. Clients just come to me. So I Skype clients, and they just seem to pop up some places, and they come, the right number of clients come outside of the prison, I mean. And all sorts of amazing other things. I've met so many people that are like, you know, we've got potential joint opportunities together.
Right.
Just amazing. My whole life is completely different and completely amazing. And the more I relax into understanding that I am always thriving and that I don't have to be the one who decides what happens next, the easier my life gets. And I literally just focus on the next step.
That's beautiful, Jacqueline. And well, I think everybody who's listened to this can hear the enthusiasm in your voice as you speak about what you're doing. And that old phrase came to mind as you were speaking, that do what you love and the money will follow. It's like most of us are doing the other thing, aren't we? We're chasing the money and then hoping some happiness will follow.
Yeah. And me too. That's what I used to do.
Yeah.
And you're absolutely right. It is. And it's such a turnaround. I literally do not have to worry about the money at all. Mm. It literally does follow. I just love life. My job is to love life. And I do. I mean, the people I work with are amazing. They're completely resourceful and resilient and persistent and determined. They've just been directing that in a way that's unhelpful to their lives. And it's like they wake up in such a simple and beautiful way that I feel totally blessed to do this work. And I always used to hear the other phrase of, you know, would you do the work if you weren't paid for it? And yeah, and I mean, hell yeah. I love it.
Lovely. You said something before, and I've just written it down. I'm sure I've written it down wrong, so just correct me. But I'm interested. You said I've written it down. You just worry about taking the next step, but I don't think you use the word worry. It sounded like from these days you're just very much in the moment. You don't think too far ahead and just enjoy, like say, enjoy taking each step as it appears in front of you. That as a pathway unfolds, I kind of see it in my mind.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not true to say that I don't, because I still do. I still fall into the trap of thinking that I'm in control and trying to plan and what about this and what about that, and having my agenda with how things should work out.
Yeah.
And I fall into that, you know, constantly.
Yeah.
But I also then fall back out of it and wake up from it, and realize, oh yeah, why am I feeling so so stressed? Why am I feeling so pressured and overwhelmed? And then I'll wake up and go, oh yeah, I'm doing that thing again.
It's because you're in resistance to the direction that you're going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I work with people. I coach other coaches sometimes. They come to me and, you know, they talk about the business side of it, because people talk about the difficulty of using the three principles in business. And I don't see that difficulty at all. I can't connect with that as being a problem. Because to me, it's simply that you're engaging with people, you're finding out about them and what they want, and you're interested in them and their business, and whether that's a prison or whether that's an organization or whether that's a therapy practice, it's all the same thing.
Yeah.
Because you're interested in them, and they become curious and they become interested as well. And if the offering meets and matches, then there'll be a transaction. But there could be so many other things too, you know. That relationship grows, different things happen, different pathways get led, and it's so rich to follow that as a business practice, as a lifestyle practice, that it doesn't make sense to me anymore to follow anything else, although I do sometimes get caught in that trap. So I've recently developed a program that I thought was brilliant,
right.
And that it should, yeah, everybody will want this usual thing.
Yeah.
I've gone out, you know, somebody's gone out and talked to the local CRCs and talked to the right people, etc. So no one's picking it up.
Right.
And tried to get funding for it, etc. And then I've recently just gone, oh, hang on a minute, what am I doing? It's obviously just not the right time, so that can just be shelved for now.
Right, yeah, you're not pressurising yourself to keep banging right against the brick wall.
There's no point. And as I love what George Pranksky says, is that you can have an inspired idea, and then you need to wait for opportunity.
Yeah.
And that's true, isn't it? And then when the opportunity comes, you've got the idea already, so you're in.
Yeah.
But until the opportunity's there, the best ideas in the world just fall flat on the floor.
Yeah, yeah. You've just reminded me there of something. A friend of mine said something to me once, and I imagine this is very much part of how you work these days, and please tell me if I'm totally wrong. But he's a friend of mine. He's probably like, he's more like a father figure. He used to be one of my bosses when I used to work for him years ago. And when I was in my 20s, he was giving me some father advice. He kind of took a shining to me, I think. Yeah. And he said, Matt, he said, in life, people always get opportunities. He said, but quite often people either don't see them or they're too scared to take them. And I imagine from your perspective now, it's like, oh yeah, there is an opportunity there. Let's take a look in that direction. Or whereas in perhaps old paradigms, people are going, oh no, this is the path I'm on, so I'm going to keep going in this direction. And they don't allow themselves freedom to explore other avenues. Would that be fair to say?
That'd be very fair to say, yeah. And that's exactly what happened with this program, is that somebody spoke, you know, my consultant spoke with somebody about this program that I was trying to put out there. And this, it was a police commissioner actually. And he said, yeah, well, that's a really good idea. And I think, anyway, what I really want to talk to you is about this. And it was to do with, clients who would be having mental health issues and committed some small scale crimes, So sort of less than 12 months type of imprisonment.
Yeah.
They don't want to put them in prison, so they're looking for some sort of program that could help.
Yeah.
And but they would be mandated, and so my consultant was like, oh no, we don't work with mandated people, and went down that tack. And as you just pointed out there, when I looked at it with fresh eyes, I suddenly went, why are we ignoring what they actually want? There's an opportunity.
Yeah.
Let's follow that.
That's a perfect example. Yeah, yeah.
Let's see where that goes. And yeah. Okay, I've no experience working with people who are mandated to come and work with me, and there may be some challenges with that, but let's have a look and see what happens. It wouldn't be presented to you if there wasn't some learning or something in it for you. So yeah, that's an example of that. And I think the other aspect, and I was talking about this, is that
you're talking to, sorry, the line went
down. Sorry, I was just talking to somebody earlier about
okay,
this.
Sorry, I thought you'd said a name, so okay.
Is our tendency to jump ahead too many questions in advance.
Yeah.
You know, so how will I do this? How will I implement this? Who will I need? What will I say? What does it look like? Where's the money? All of those things. Whereas actually, what is the very next question? What is the very next step? Because you always know what you need in the moment. And if it's not the moment yet, then you're not going to know. And we spend a lot of time trying to think about what we might need in the next moment after that.
Yeah.
But we'll know. And I have to say, I borrowed that from a lovely lady called Lucy Bainbridge.
Yeah.
I had a coaching conversation with her today, and she came up with that. And I thought, that is absolutely right.
Yeah.
That's absolutely right. We always know what we need in this moment. And that's the now, isn't it? That's what you refer to as the now.
Yeah. I'm just reminded there of then when you're going the other way and you're trying to be two steps ahead, it's like when you're pre-planning an argument with your spouse or when they come home, I'm going to say this about an issue that you've had. And it never goes as you expect it to, does it? Because either they're in a better mood or...
yeah
they've let it go and then people still they try and have these conversations, they're just nonsensical. It's just meeting people fresh moment to moment.
And the incredible thing about that is that it really can be fresh and absolutely anything can happen, and the more you're able to see that, the more it seems that that infinite possibility can take place. Whereas when you've got a mindset, which we all tend to have, of we know how it's all going to pan out, you sort of miss those opportunities. You miss that sort of freshness that can occur. But the more you can sort of think, well, okay, let's see. You'll see the possibility for freshness, and it's always there, which is really, really cool.
Yeah, I was on the last conversation I had, like I said, they've been a bit sporadic over the last few weeks, but I spoke with Dickin and we was talking quite a lot about presence. I'm just seeing more and more. There's so many different ways you can talk about presence, isn't there? Like just being with somebody and deep listening. Like we talk a lot in the principles about deep listening, and you just take bringing yourself into a place of presence. I see, and complete awareness and being, and that's when you've got more. Like you say, you're in the moment, and you're not jumping ahead trying to solve the next moment.
Yeah,
just the most. It sounds too simplistic in many ways, but it's not always necessarily the spectacular things happening from moment to moment. But it's where those one moment leads to, and the next moment leads to, can be Well, like you said at the very beginning, you were just following, you were just doing what you loved.
Yeah.
Now it sounds like you're helping a lot of people, and you're being rewarded financially as well with your career.
And in life too. And it sort of seems to me that my job is to love my life, and what a cool job.
Yeah, full time.
Yeah.
You don't even have to do it part time.
That's right. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely.
And you too, it sounds like you really enjoy these podcasts, you call
them.
Yeah,
I'm one of those people who usually start something and I lose interest after a few weeks.
So sure.
This has been going on for like 2 years now, and I just, like I say, it was interesting. I used to, just going back to what you were saying before about, I had it in my mind that I was going to do them every week, and I had to be rigid about doing them every week. And then suddenly I thought that's bullshit. I don't have to do them every week. If there's a week where I just think, oh, I don't want a conversation this week, I won't do one. Mm-hmm. And in the summers, I invariably get quite busy with my work. But now there's this sudden urge to start having more of these conversations again and making the time for them. So like you say, I just love going with being in the flow of it. Yeah. And I just love having these conversations and seeing where these lead has been interesting, like some of the events that have come from these, like the trekking events I've been doing and getting involved with Sheila's stuff. So yeah, it's just, and the people, well, you, like you said, some of the people you meet and speak to, it just opens you, broadens your horizons and opens your mind. Some of the people I've met and talked to, and some of the stories, and it's just lovely. Yeah. So people are going to be stuck with me for a while. Keep putting these out, I think.
That's great. Yeah. And I think your example there of the trekking events is a really good one of how, when you just follow where it goes next, you can do some really cool stuff that you enjoy, you know, that works for your life, that works for you, that stretches you, or that enhances your life in some way. You know, trekking wouldn't be for me. But it's never been presented to me. So it, you know, it's like you get presented with this rich tapestry of stuff that works perfectly.
For your own character, yeah. Because, like I say, I enjoy doing, like, at the weekend, we'd go and doing a facilitation talk for people. What generally, when I hear you talking about your work, I thought, oh, yeah, it sounds really, really great. But up until now, that's not really interested me much. But, like I said, doing these conversations and then having these kind of conversations while we're in the great outdoors and all that, that's just perfectly for my character. And I think it's just, for people in general, it's just like you said, following what you love and then just seeing where it leads to.
Yeah, and you have those moments like I've described recently, when I hadn't run groups before, I hadn't written a business case before, all the stuff that I've talked to you about, I'd never done any of that before.
Right.
I just did it when I was asked, you know, when the guy said to me, I put in a really small proposal, and then he said, oh, actually, I'm thinking about putting this forward for a 12-month contract. Could you write a business case with some evidence? I went, oh, yeah, of course, and thought, oh, my God, what is that?
Right.
Yeah, so I just went back to him and said, what sort of headings might you like in this business case? Had a conversation with him, and he was really willing to help because he'd actually been impacted by the principles himself. He wanted it in there. He wanted it for him. So he was very amenable to assisting me with you know, what I needed to come up with. And so I just listened and, you know, sort of responded to that and kept going. And again, you know, followed the thread and just kept going with the thread. And there were times at 10 o'clock at night when I'm thinking, I don't really know what I'm doing, you know, but those times passed, and then I got on with the next bit and so on. And then, serendipitously, I bumped into somebody, this the consultant I mentioned earlier, who happened to be an ex-governor of a prison. And right. I just bumped into him networking, and we got on. And then he said, oh, I'll look over your business case for you if you would like. So wow. He just did that free of charge.
Wow.
Just sort of adjusted a little bit of the wording for me.
Yeah.
And he's ended up now doing some consultancy for us, which is brilliant. And I presented that case, and my contact then has recently told we had a big event to celebrate our first graduation. We've finished phase one. It's a research project as well. I forgot to mention that. So we're gathering the evidence that's needed in the principled community to evidence what we do, and we had this big event recently to celebrate the first phase. And he told one of my board of directors that he was so impressed with the business case that he knew he could just get behind me. Up until right. then, he thought, I'll be honest, I didn't even have a company when I pitched for this business.
Yeah.
So I didn't even, I just had an idea of a social enterprise. I didn't have one.
Yeah, the idea and the enthusiasm and the drive and the love.
Exactly.
Of what you're doing.
Yeah. And I just followed that. And then when we were eventually in there, I was standing there on that first morning. I'd never run a group before. I'd never been in prison before. And they'd had what they call lockdown. There was a big problem on one of the wings. There was a big fight. And so none of the men were allowed out of their cells. And so they all got very impatient and started banging their cups against the cell doors. And so there's lots of noise like you hear on the movies.
Yeah.
It was very, very intimidating. And I remember standing there thinking, how did I get here? I always used to imagine that I'd be like flown off to Hawaii to do workshops in plush hotels.
Yeah,
you know?
And you had nice coaching in Korea.
In a filthy prison.
Yeah.
Feeling intimidated.
With loads of angry blokes, yeah.
With loads of angry blokes. And of course, my specialty is addiction. So I work with the people who engage with substance misuse, and a lot of them are still getting drugs in prison. I'm probably not allowed to say that, but they are.
Right.
I thought, oh my gosh, what have I done? But so you have those moments still, but I was there. What were they going to do? So it went, and I started delivering, and I saw these amazing souls in front of me. And it's so, so rewarding. Like just a few weeks later when they're, I can send you the link to the video actually. That we
oh
did.
Yeah, I love that, yeah.
When they're awake and they're sort of transforming in front of your eyes in their own different ways. They're blossoming. And now, of course, I relish going in. Yeah, I'm really excited about the next phase, which starts next week.
Lovely.
So, I just mentioned that because I know there's a lot of people who think, oh, well, it's all right for you because you know what you're doing, but I don't know how to do this, or I don't. Neither did I.
Yeah.
Neither did I, but I literally just followed the next step, and just some of the stuff that I was scared of went away, or I got through it, or it got done. I made mistakes, loads. I got turned down, loads. I got rejected, loads. But I believed in what I was doing, and I was passionate about it, and I still didn't think it would be a business. I thought I'd probably have to work and do this part-time as a hobby.
Right.
But I just kept going and sort of saw where it went.
I'm so glad I took that step that I said to you at the beginning about giving you a shout and saying, would you like to have a conversation? Because I'm sure this is going to be very inspirational to many people who are perhaps just setting off on the path with the three principles, or of perhaps... as a looking to do it as a career or as a passion, because I think so many people are doing it out there now at the moment, aren't they? And they're wanting to do it, and it's just it's so lovely to hear stories like yours and hear the enthusiasm, the passion you have for what you're doing. And I
Thank
think
you.
It's just, it really is heartwarming. I think I was reminded of Sid Banks' words, and he was saying, what did he say? It might have been, might not have been Sid Banks. Could have been somebody else. It's like, I think it was one of those along the lines, if you look after others, you'll be looked after. That I'm probably, yeah. And I was just hearing that much. You were caring about others, and it seems that it's just helped. It's helped you be rewarded as well. And then
absolutely.
The fact that you can continue doing what you're loving as well. Not
yeah.
talking about finances. I'm just, you're just in a position now where you say you love your job is to love your life.
Yeah.
Lovely. So, well, I'm amazed. An hour's nearly gone by already.
I know. Wow.
If somebody was to, I think you've already, I was going to say, what would you say to people who it would perhaps just coming onto this, but I think you've said so much already in what in the last hour. But if any advice you can give to people who are perhaps just coming to this and wanting to help people and wanting to do something with the principle.
Well, you alluded to it right there, Mark, and I think it's a really good point to reiterate, which is just serve. Just go out there and serve and find a way of serving in the way that you can serve and only you can serve. Do it your way.
Yeah.
And take that uniqueness and do what you do and the rest follows. And just keep and just keep going. Don't worry about all that stuff that happens.
Yeah. And be yourself, came to my mind when
absolutely be yourself and serve and then that's it. You know, because if you're being yourself and you're serving, you automatically love your life.
Yeah, you're not pretending of being false, because if you're being false, it's an effort in there, isn't it?
Yeah,
an act on it's
effort there, and you don't have to overthink it. You don't have to worry about it. You don't have to work it out. It gets worked out along the way.
Beautiful. I'm quite self-indulgent in these conversations as well sometimes, but I'm reminded just when I started doing these Ice Cream for the Soul things, I had it in my mind that I would be myself, and I always told myself I was, well, I used to think I've got a good sense of humour. And initially I was trying to be funny
yes.
And then I realized I'll just let that go, because especially on the radio, it doesn't, or when you're talking to somebody over the internet, it doesn't work the same as when you're in a group of people trying to, and I've found that it's like not everybody will enjoy the way I come across with these Ice Cream for the Soul stuff, but then they'll find somebody else who do. So, and I'll attract who's attracted to my style with the conversations. And I think that's important. It's just like you said, be yourself. Don't try to be somebody you're not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Yeah. So, well, I won't keep you much longer, Jacqueline. Like I say, we've already been an hour, but, well, you're coming to the Viva event in Spain. I'm looking forward to meeting. We haven't met in person before, have we?
Very briefly. We have.
The Tikkun event?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
When you said was I've met so many people, so forgive me.
In the we met in the hotel. It was last year, I think.
Oh yeah, in May. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Sorry.
That's okay. No, that's okay.
Right. No. Well, I'm looking forward to having a glass of wine with you in Spain then.
Thank you. You too.
So, and I'm really looking forward to, well, we're all looking forward to the Viva event here and as well, Sheila and Sue as well. So that's going to be interesting. So, well, just tell people, it sounds like you're not doing too many like public events, and it sounds you're busy with private work, but do you do any public work?
I'm doing public workshops.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Can you tell people about that and perhaps how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm doing what I call community events.
Right.
So I'm doing some community events. I'll probably do one this year, and I'm doing a few more next year. People can get in touch with me through Facebook as Jacqueline Hollows or Beyond Recovery. I've got a Beyond Recovery page, and I'd love some likes on my Beyond Recovery page, so people could do that.
Okay.
And I'm on LinkedIn, and also I've got a personal website. My Beyond Recovery website isn't quite built yet. I'm on Twitter as well as Beyond_Recovery, so I do quite a lot of tweeting and Instagrams and things like that.
Right.
So yeah, the marketing machine isn't quite up and running yet, but we are planning to put on some public events because people are interested, and as I say, I've got some community workshops going and stuff like that, so I'd love to hear from people.
Lovely. Well, I just so love speaking to people who are doing so much great stuff. I'm nearly everybody I speak to doing so much great stuff. So, again, I just love what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Win-win.
I thought I'd mention as well, Mark, I put out a video letter monthly, and that's just a 2-minute video of what we've been up to and so on. And that's always got my contact details on. So I'm really happy for people to sign up to that. It's quite fun and interesting. So if anybody wants access to that, they can email me or Facebook me or any of those other methods, and I'll just add them to the mailing list.
Great. Yeah, I've seen one or two of those. They're really cool how you do them.
Cool. Thank you.
Yeah, they're really cool. So it looks all too complicated for me, though.
Yeah, it's not as easy as it looks.
No, I looked at it. Well, I know just how I, mind you, people know I am rubbish with technology. I thought, oh, that looks complicated. But I'd like to do something like that. And I thought, would I have the patience? Probably not.
Well, it's quite cool because not many other people are doing them. So,
right.
So it's quite fresh.
Cool. Right. Well, I'll let you get off. I'll just tell people about the Viva event. I mentioned it a couple of times already. That's from in November. If anybody's interested in that, just give me a shout at Mark. icecreamforthesoul@hotmail.com. Well, it's not Mark, it's just icecreamforthesoul@hotmail.com with the number 4 instead of 4. And there's going to be people from all over the world come to that, people talking on various topics, like Jacqueline will be talking about her topic, I'm sure, with the recovery and helping people in prisons and stuff. And it's just going to be, I say this every time I mention it, it's not necessarily going to be a conference as such, just see it as a gathering. And I kind of feel I'd like to see it turning out a bit like people having conversations with such excitement like this one, and then there'll be other conversations where we're just dropping into some deep meaningful stuff and all that. So there's going to be a variety of stuff going on, so it's going to be cool. So anyway, if you're interested, give me a shout.
It's going to be very cool, Mark, as well, because I think it's a really good opportunity for people, particularly who either want or are starting out or don't know much about the principles, to really get a grip for themselves, to get a real sort of insight for themselves into what it looks like and how that might feel, and because they're going to be very intimate conversations, aren't they?
Yeah.
So unlike a big conference where people are coming along and you get sort of great speakers and everything, but you don't go too deep into your own stuff. This is the opposite. This is like everybody's really will get chances to go as deep into their own stuff and start to bring their own dreams into alignment. And yeah. I think it's a really, really exciting event.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. So, and there's so many people that are like yourself that they're on the ground and they're doing stuff, and they're just going to be so available to people there to talk about people, for example, who are in the same arena, and it's going to be cool. It's going to be cool.
Cool.
So yeah, a good. Let's give them that a good plug.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Jacqueline, it's been lovely to talk to you. And like I said, thank you so much. And just stay on the air after I finish the recording.
Sure.
But I look forward to seeing you in November.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm.